While there is a joy and a fortitude that's unspeakable from growing up in inner cities as a black person, an indigenous or a person of color, there is a reality that you're kind of living most of the time in the red zone, which is kind of true for any sort of low income communities where you have to triage what's information and issues are worth your energy. You still trying to figure out food. You trying to figure out safety. And when you black, you trying to figure out the boys in blue, you know. So if you notice our elders, unless they are highly educated or have a few financial margins, they don't worry about stuff like therapy because we just won't have time for that. Especially when it talks about politics, like, you know, a lot of times, man, you ain't got time for that. You like, what's going on right here? Things like foreign policy, man, I ain't got time to worry about that. It's what's going on right here. We dying in the streets. It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And when I taught high school, it was one thing I used to teach them kids. And I actually designed my classroom around that. Quick primer, Maslow's hierarchy needs is just this like pyramid of things you got to take care of. So your first part is like your basic needs, food, water, warmth, shelter, rest. And then the next step above that, once that's set, you start talking about safety and security. And when you're in the hood, that stuff kind of blends, right? Then you can deal with like emotional and psychological things like relationships and friends and, you know, interpersonal skills. And then you could start talking about esteem and prestige and feeling accomplished. Of course, it's not that linear in real life, in anybody's life. The point I'm trying to make is what I want to know about World War II if I don't know where the food at. We talking about algebra. Why would I go to school if my school crossed town where I got to cross a rival hood state, especially talking about let's go to this after school YMCA program, like, fool, you know who live over there? I'm not good over there. I ain't going over there. And then finally, the top of Maslow's thing is self-actualization. And then we could start really getting meta about stuff. But you can't get meta. You don't know where the food coming from. If I feel like I ain't going to make it home safe, you think inner city kids ain't interested in what you're talking about? They got other stuff worried about. So I used to spend most of the first month or two of my class creating safety, you know, packing extra food, fire me. You know, whatever. I got snacks in my drawer. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's an extra water bottle, like, because they basic needs met before I could start talking about heavier stuff. You worry about algebra. Niggas trying to eat. Also, when it comes to things like climate change, fools don't care. It just seems so far off. Today, I want to make a case for why the hood should care, because it is about your basic needs. Let's talk about climate change, hood politics.
Hey, it's so hood right now. Hood politics, y'all.
So today I want to kind of introduce a different type of show. This is a little different. This show is not necessarily talking from the hood, but talking to the hood. There's things that like people where I come from, they just don't talk about. They don't really care about because it don't feel like it's an issue I need to worry about. Ozone layer. Like, you, what is you talking about? You know, those are things that, you know, from the city, that's when they look at me like, this little nigga weird. That's, you just don't care about things like that because you got other stuff you worried about. And I totally understand it. Going back to the therapy thing, I know my parents, they talk about therapy. We did that at church. You went to counseling with the past. A lot of our needs, you know, especially in the black community, was met by the church. Which is why Western evangelical stuff, just especially when you're not from like white church, that just don't make sense to us. You sending people all the way to Peru and Venezuela while you live literally across the street from one of the poorest neighborhoods in your city. You know what I'm saying? You ain't done nothing for them. So you just like, y'all needs are met. So you could look somewhere else. But when your needs ain't met, it's just, I just don't have time for those things. Today, I want to make a case now that I got some margins. That, to continue the metaphor, you should go to therapy. We could use it. It's actually money well spent. And then when you start doing professional therapy, again, you got the money to spare to do it, right? Two, now I need to find like a black therapist. Because you looking across the table like, there's no way in the world this dude understand what I'm going through. Institutional, psychological, generational trauma. Like, you don't get that. there's so much more going on here that it's hard talking to a person who just ain't experienced what you experienced. It just don't seem, it don't seem real. What I'm trying to say is I feel you because I'm from that. So now this is me after being able to learn a lot of things, travel across the world, and rather than just be a representative of people that came from where I came from that have gotten to go do other things, now I'm turning back and I'm saying, hey, yo, squad, family, this mug affect us. And it affects us in ways that we haven't noticed. We need to talk about this. Now, I hope you don't hear this. Like, I'm not saying, oh, Lord, here come another thing we need to care about. Like, hey, I'm exhausted. That's not what I'm saying. Or I'm not saying we need to care about this instead of the other stuff we caring about. What I'm trying to say is all of this stuff is connected and it all feeds the same infrastructure that for some reason is hell bent on destroying us. So follow me. I'm not trying to take away from nothing else. I'm trying to say, hey, but also this mug is connected. So listen, y'all, everybody welcome to the conversation, but I want y'all to know I'm specifically talking to our inner cities and specifically working class persons of color. But of course, listen in because everybody's welcome. All right? And I'm gonna specifically focus on California. Now, California, actually the whole western part of the country, is in one of the biggest droughts it's ever been in since the last 1200 years. Like, we get our water from Colorado River into this reservoir called Lake Mead. Now, Lake Mead is at its lowest amount of water. They say when it gets under or 1,070 feet, it immediately triggers a water shortage. And what's hard about this is it just seems so far away. The way we understand it is very simple. The water turn off if I don't pay the bill. That's how you get water, by paying the bill. And also, this crazy, it come out the sky. I don't understand why anybody got to, how is this so hard? But if you from Cali, you know it don't rain a lot. We have these series of droughts that happen all the time. Y'all remember the little commercials about that drought is real. And you just don't, you don't really feel it. You know it's hot, real hot. And then I always say that California got, like, we do have seasons. We have summer, we have fire. We got 2 weeks of rain, then we got mudslide seasons. And then summer again. That's our season. But if you haven't noticed, that fire season has gotten increasingly longer. And that rain season has gotten increasingly shorter. But again, it still feels so far away. What I want to do is I want to take it back home and process some things. But let's back up for a second. Lake Mead, water drought, what that got to do with your water bill? Well, let me light you up with real quick with this. Who owned the water? Have you ever asked that question? You ever thought about that? And it seems stupid because it fall out the sky. You like, nigga, God owned the water. What is you talking about? But when you look at that water bottle that say, you know, Crystal Geyser, Mountain Spring Water, you know, bottled at the mountain, somebody, you think they just ran up to a random place and built a factory and just put them plastic bottles in? You can't just do that. You got to buy that. Somebody bought the water. Let this sink in. Somebody owned the water. Now, across the country, there is a combination of private and public consortiums of where your water come from. And you could do your Googles to figure out if your water come from a private company or not. And I know that sound weird because you like it come from the city, just like your electric bill, just like your power bill. It come from the city. You looking at the power plant, you know, up the street around the corner. You know what I'm saying? If you down here in L.A., down in Long Beach, right at the end of the 22 in the 405, it's a big old water thing. Right at the end of that, you like, it's next to the ocean. What do you mean? It's 70% of the earth water. What you talking about? Well, you know, we can't drink most of that. We talking about fresh water. Somebody own that water. And if you own water, well, where does water come from? Either the groundwater. You know, I'm taking you back to seventh grade. All the water that's ever been here is still here. That's the water cycle. It evaporates, makes a cloud, and then it rains. But if I own the body of water, don't that mean I own the rain? Let that sink in.
Somebody own the rain.
And of course, that's over a particular part of the ground that they bought, but you could own it. Now, in California, there's certain things called water rights, which we'll get into a little later. And then with runoff, right? So if there's a part of a natural spring that kind of sprouts off into a different part that you don't own, according to California law, okay, you ain't got no rights over that. That's like public domain, man. You can't just take the stream. Now you're not allowed to bend the stream. Now, if you bend the stream, you got to go get permits for that. But I need you to listen to me. Somebody can bend the stream. But I want to go back to your utilities. You think they coming from the city. You think that's public. That's not necessarily true. Now, I'm a quote from the, I'm going to give y'all a gang of links today because I need y'all to go do your homework, and it's too big for me to like really process it all. But UNC has this thing called the Environmental Finance Blog that I would love for y'all to understand like how the money is going. So think of it like this. I'm a quote from there. Check this out. The dynamic between public and private systems have always been interesting, especially in the case of water and wastewater systems. Public water systems are usually nonprofit entities managed by a local or state government, for which rates are set by a governing board. But on the other hand, private water systems can be a for-profit system managed by investors and shareholders. Though rates are monitored by a state's public commission, private systems are not necessarily subject to a regulating board. Additionally, the difference between public and private are not always distinct. Now, translation, you may not know because it's not clear who actually owns your water. You can't make no assumptions about this stuff. These are things you got to find out because the blend between public and private is very blurry. Now, let me give you some street stuff. If the water is the brick of cocaine, so the water is the weight, right? What a plug, plug Columbia, the club, the plug private, but private connect with the streets to cut that crack up and distribute it to y'all. So you yelling at the crack dealer don't set the prices, the plug do. And there's nobody over the plug to make sure that them prices is fair. Because what you gonna do? Not have water? Walk with me, y'all. So even the prices of your water, you may or may not know, you might be funding somebody private. And how does that work with the city? Well, the city buys the water in bulk. So Corporation A run up to Lake so-and-so, buy the whole lake and all the rain that comes thereof. And then they say, I'll sell it to you in a brick form. I'll sell you the whole thing. Y'all can distribute it however we want, but we need our money. And this is what we charging. And then they say, hey, and check this out. I got a homeboy over here that can treat the water for you to make sure that it's drinkable. But you got to pay them too, though. That's part of the deal. So you got to work with both of us. Now you got to think about where your water coming from. Is this public or private or some consortium of both? And it's really hard to find out. California, we got combos. Now, you could look up your own district to kind of figure it out. But basically, California is ran by what's called, get this, the water board. I know. I'm burnt out. There's this thing called seeding clouds, which y'all could look. China been doing it for a while. So essentially, if you own a plot of land, right, and you say to yourself, this plot of land, I own all the water. What's the natural next step if we talk in capitalism? That means I need more water. But what if the rain start tripping because of climate change? What if the natural process of how the weather cycle works starts getting out of whack? What you gonna do? You gonna do what anybody does. Well, I'm going to literally make it rain. And there's a process of seeding clouds where you can shoot these things into the clouds to make the rain happen more and change the water cycle. You could change the process of raining by seeding these clouds to make it rain in a certain place at a certain time more than what it normally does. So what does that mean? That means that areas that might have been very wet, you're usually waiting for their rains to come. They come in October. The rains ain't come no more. They happen a mile over, right? Now you got an entire village all of a sudden a desert. You feel me? Because they ain't getting the rain they always did. We did that. This ain't science fiction, y'all. You could do this. You can literally make it rain. Money make you figure out stuff, boy. And you could also tap in with the Safe Water Board or the Safe Drinking Water Information System, and it'll tell you where your water coming from. Now, again, I'm going to link all this stuff. So like I said, Cali has a combo of both, and we've been in the worst drought in the last 1,200 years. Lake Mead, its lowest level since 1930. So what does that mean? What that means is it's not so much somebody finally says, okay, that's it. No more drinking water. What it says is, how do we allocate where the water goes? Now, how do you allocate where the water goes? Let me introduce you to something called a water right. I'll tell you after the break. Back. Now, a water right. A water right. Now, again, I'm specifically talking California law. A water right is just exactly how it sounds. Water right is the legal permission to use a reasonable amount of water for a beneficial purpose, such as swimming, fishing, farming, or industry. You following me? So be able to use this like reasonable amount. You can't just like I said, you can't just build a dam and be like, yo, this is my water. And be like, what are you talking about? Come from the sky. It's not allowed. Now, most of y'all not farming, I'm assuming. Some of y'all are, but most of y'all not. But if you're farming, you need a considerable amount of water. Now, if you are a Californian, hopefully you understand that 80% of California is farmland. If you ever drove from Chula Vista and then you went east, you in wine country. It's a desert out there, right? It's just a weird desert, and there's some wine country over there. Especially once you cross to the border, it's crazy. Like a lot of Baja California is wine country. But if you're going north, after you leave the Grapevine, you know, going 5 north, after you leave LA and then the surrounding areas in the valley, and you going north, it's cows, almonds, and avocado until you in the Bay Area. That's most of California. And then once you leave the Bay Area, you might as well be in Oregon. You got Lake Shasta. You got Wairika. Like, them is farming rural communities. They nothing like the cities. But the thing is, the city take up all the water. But who feeding the city? The rest of California. See, California and a lot of, some people call California like we're America's garden. We produce most of the produce for the country, which means we use a lot of water. And the way the allocation works, at least in California, according to our consortium, is split into 3 sections, right? So 50% go to environmental, 40% go to agricultural, and 10% urban. So all the water in all our cities is just 10% of the water that's there. And then 40% go to agricultural. That's your vegetables. That's your avocados. That's your produce. That's your beef. That's your pork. That's your In-N-Out. That's your fat burger. That's everything. Everything. Look, that's 40% of our water. And go there. We're running out of it. So then the next question would be like, well, who's to say who gets water and how do we make sure that we good? I'm glad you asked. So then I ask you, who's responsible for administering water rights? Well, in California, water rights law is administrated by the State Water Resources Control Board, or called, like I said, the State Water Board, which is the division of water rights on behalf of the State Water Board for day-to-day matters. The State Water Board is the only agency with the authority to administer water rights in California. Local governments, water districts, and California Regional Water Supply Control Boards do not administer water rights. The State Water Board shares the authority to enforce water rights with the state courts. So this whole board is the board that gets to say whether your city get water or not, whether your city get enough water or not. Now, if you've been paying attention at all in America, who you think gonna get their water? Who you think this affects the most? Who you think sitting at this table? How you think them deals are made? Use your antennas. Now, I know Hood followed me on this. Now, Hood followed me on this. If the allocations change, if they say to themselves, and I know you've seen it on the news, if you've actually watched the news, where it seems so far away, but them farmers out there, you know, that we all feel bad when we driving by, you seeing them Latino dudes out there, you know, picking them strawberries, picking them things, and you feel bad about them because it's hot as hell out there. But sometimes, I don't know if you've driven up there. Again, I'm talking to California specifically. You drive up the 5 freeway and it has like save our water, save our farms, right? They're fighting for their rights. And a lot of times these people don't like the city. They vote very differently than us because we holler in environment. But to them, they like, y'all don't get how this affects you or us. We are your food. I don't think you understand this. We are your food. So follow me, Hood. If the people that make our food have to ration and fight for the amount of water they have to produce the produce, then that means they're not going to make that much this time. They're not going to be able to make as many tomato. You know what I'm saying? Ain't going to be a lot of apples. Now, understand supply and demand. If there ain't a lot of them, what do you think the price going to go? The price going to go up. And if you a farmer, who you gonna sell to? You gonna sell to the person that can afford it. So what does that mean for us who already believe we live in a food desert? There ain't no Whole Foods in the hood. Ain't no Trader Joe's in the hood. You gotta go to Pasadena. You gotta go to the West Side. They talking about $15 for a head of lettuce. It's already too much. So who gonna miss out? That's us. The prices go up on us. That ain't no blip on they map. They fine. But if these people ain't got enough water, they gonna raise the price for this food. And if they raise the price for the food, they gonna sell to the person that could pay for it. Can your hood, your corner store pay for this? Mine can't either. This affects you directly, big dog. The price of your groceries finna shoot up. And let me give you another example. You know it's water in your toilet, right? Any of y'all got low flowing toilets? Anybody replaced it? You got one of those filtration systems that you attach to the back of your house? No, because we don't own houses. That's not. And if you do, you're just trying to make ends meet. So you haven't made your house water friendly? You got sprinklers outside? Let me tell you who not draining their pools. They not draining their pools for our water. They cool. Their water bill can go down because they can replace their toilets. Their grocery bill ain't changed at all. Ours did. So now me and you got to decide which one of these things we're going to pay for. You're going to pay for your water bill. You're going to buy some vegetables. Or you're going to continue to eat this trash food that's available to us. Oh, so then we get to continue to have diabetes, right? Oh, so you can go see your doctor on your non-health care. It affects us, homie. This becomes our problem. Just like exactly how this pandemic showed the holes in the racism that's baked into our system, the climate do it too. We gonna suffer. Y'all remember when Malibu was on fire? It was awful. You think they had any problem getting that fire department over there in the middle of a drought? You think they would come and put our houses out that fast? I mean, the fire department is county. You got to get water from somewhere. I mean, of course, they're not going to let the city burn. I mean, come on. How are you going to cover that shortfall? Raise our water prices. She's got to get it from somewhere. It's not enough. I mean, are you gonna buy bottled water? Bottled from where? Somebody own that too. I got two words for you. Flint, Michigan. They had a water issue. And the city, without telling nobody, got a new connect. And that new connect tapped a body of water that was poisonous. Who gonna suffer from this? Now, let me step back and make a bigger picture about climate change. Now, we had a gang of snow recently up in the Sierra Nevadas. It was amazing. It was like, oh, we good. We out of the drought. I mean, I've been talking about droughts my whole life in California. But it got so hot so fast because of how deforestation is moving so fast. We chopping down so many trees. The temperature index has shot up so high that water or that snow went from snow to vapor in 4 days. We wasn't able to save none of it. It just evaporated. It was gone. We didn't. All that snow gone because of how hot the ground too dry and it's too hot outside. So it just evaporated. And what's going to happen is what we always know. Fire season on the way. It's going to be longer and it's going to be less water and we going to suffer. And your price is finna go up. Now, what else does that mean? What that means is then not only do your prices for your produce go up, the prices for houses go up because now we have to make more regulatory things to save the water that we have. So that means your house had to get retrofitted. You got to figure out other things so to make sure that California's houses that are made are water friendly. We already can't afford no houses out here. That's why everybody leaving. You locked in. So what does that mean? Let's just say you do get grandma in there, muddy in them house, right? So now you got the house, abuelita, she ain't moved in a long time. Now you got her house. The problem is your property value and your property taxes aren't covering the cost it takes for y'all to have a decent school. Cause you know, schools are funded by property taxes. But since y'all in a food desert, your property value is low. Therefore, your property taxes ain't high enough. Therefore, your schools ain't getting enough funding. I'm telling you, this stuff is connected. So what does that mean? What is our therefore now? What do we do? Well, the first thing I think we need to do is run for office. That's number one. I need somebody from Watts sitting at the table with the Water Council to be like, y'all not finna forget us. I need somebody from Compton sitting at the table being like, listen, if that's the case, then y'all need to build these apartments. Y'all need to build these homes with water friendly toilets and sinks instead of punishing us for things we ain't had nothing to do with. If that's the case, then y'all need to walk into some of these places and being like, listen, I just walked by the Beverly Center. It's a plot of grass out there that's not doing anything for anybody. And I just saw the sprinklers turn on. Why they get to have sprinklers? Don't get me wrong. Grass is great. Well, what's up with the succulents? This is a desert. You can plant some succulents. Why y'all get that? But if we ain't got nobody at the table, if we don't start telling the homies like, hey, listen, you gotta care about this stuff. You feel me? And it's not just your consumption of water. Water is used to make things. Here's one thing you could do. Buy you a little, one of them little Brita things to attach to your faucet. Get yourself one of them like mirror, like water bottles, reusable joints. Fill your own water bottle. Because it take the water to make the plastic also. And you don't need to be putting money into their pockets. Not only that, you know how much money I'm not spending on bottled water? It come out the faucet. I'm already paying for it. That's part of this production of plastic is part of the climate change in the first place. Carry a little water bottle. You all right? It be yours too. Yeah, fill it with vodka. I don't care. All I'm saying is there are little things we could do. Little Grey Goose. You know what I'm saying? You know your mama got a gang of washcloths that are kind of raggedy that every once in a while she used to clean the counter? Maybe get that instead of paper towels. Maybe just get a gang of water of washcloths instead of paper towels. And like, you know how much money you spend on shit you just gonna throw away? I think about that every once in a while. I ain't bought no paper towel and I don't know how long. Because I'm like, I'm throwing away money. This is ridiculous. Just wipe the counter down with little cloth joints. I mean, these are like they little things. You feel me? But at the end of the day, I know hood don't care about it, but it's going to hurt us the most. It's our prices. It's our homes. This is our food. This food out of our mouth. I know it may seem very far away, but I'm trying to tell you, like, it's going to hit us the hardest. And last thing I want to talk about is rising sea levels. There's a collection of cities that by the year 2100, and again, I know that seems far away, but just finna be gone. They're going to be underwater. And you like, what you talking about, prop? Niggas don't live at the beach. I'm like, oh, word, you ever been to New Orleans? It sinks 2 inches a year. N-O-L-A. Yeah, Wally. It's sinking. Houston. Sinking. Candy paint. Gone. It's finna be underwater. Now, let me ask you this. You think they gonna give you a voucher for your house after it's underwater? Where you gonna go? You in Houston, it's underwater. Where you gonna go? What ward you weapon? Where you gonna go? You remember last time Houston and New Orleans was underwater? What'd they do for us? I know. You heard the blank right there? That's what they did for us. 8 American cities finna be gone in 2100. It's pretty wild. New Orleans already sinking. Miami, Florida, probably going to be underwater. Sea levels rising faster there than anywhere else in the world. Almost all of Atlantic City, Jersey, finna be underwater. Parts of New York, areas of Charleston, South Carolina. These places, they get hit by hurricanes. They get hit hard. And listen, this what I know. Ain't nobody coming for you. They ain't come for us the last time. Ain't nobody coming for us. Bruh, it's part of New Orleans. Still suffering from Katrina. Oh, they got the French Quarters is fine. They not coming for us. So what I'm trying to say is like, look, we need to care about this and we need to get some of these OGs. We need to get some of y'all at the table. Start defending our hoods. Like we defend our hoods outside. Let's defend them at the table. Y'all with me? Because I done lobbied at the Congress for this a few times. I'm saying no. I'm not talking from the hood right now. I'm talking to the hood. This our water, y'all. Ain't nobody gonna come help us except us. Y'all with it? On hood. Y'all, this mug was recorded and edited by me, Propaganda, right here in East Los Boyle Heights, Los Angeles. Y'all can follow me at Prop Hip Hop on all the socials. You can follow the Hood Politics Pod itself at Hood Politics Pod, where we be trying to make takes on stuff that aren't really big enough for a whole episode, but definitely needs a little bit of clarity. This mug was scored, edited, mixed, and mastered by the one and only Headlights. Y'all go follow my dog, Matt Oswowski. I still don't know how to say his name. I'm glad he changed it to Headlights. Follow him on his socials at Headlights_music. Telling you, hear all these new other fly tracks this fool be making. And the theme music was done by the one and only Gold Tips, DJ Sean P. And y'all remember, every time you check in, if you understand the hood, you could understand politics. Shouts to iHeartMedia for making this happen.